If you're shopping for a Browns fans this holiday, well, the best fans in the NFL, they need their gear. So make sure you're shopping the best selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the store at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or go to shop.clevelandbrowns.com. And in about 10 or 12 minutes from now, you're going to hear from Ryan O'Halloran. He covers the Jaguars for the Florida Times-Union. We're going to bring him aboard. And then around 2:40, you're going to hear from Gerard Cherry making his regular visit to the show.
And right now we're going to hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns talking about the newest member of the Browns, quarterback Alex Tanny. And it seems to be a consensus opinion that people think we will see him under center at some time this year. Chud talked about the reason for signing Alex Tanny.
We looked around and felt that Alex was a guy that had good potential. He was efficient in his opportunities in the preseason, and looking at him, he's got good ability, accuracy, and was a guy that Ray Farmer on our scouting staff had actually spent time with him a year ago in Kansas City, knew him very well, so was very high on him. And the other thing is, it was important, is that he's been in the system. The terminology is familiar with him. So, from that standpoint, it'd be an easier transition.
I think the Farmer connection to this guy is actually important, because you're talking about in Ray Farmer someone with a strong voice, assistant general manager on this football team, on this whole building and going forward. And I think, again, the acquisition of Tanny at this point is strategic. It's much bigger than just filling the hole that you have on the roster at quarterback while Jason Campbell has that concussion for a mere five games. You're looking, I think, at this guy to see what he can do in the offseason and see what you might have as a developmental guy going forward.
Absolutely. I think when you look at this roster, there's a very good chance that Brian Hoyer will be the only quarterback currently on the Browns that is still with the Cleveland Browns in 2014. And if Alex Tanny can be a guy who could become a backup, could become a third-string quarterback for your squad, give him a look. And Chud, a lot of people are talking about the fact that he is the trick shot quarterback. Rob Chudzinski, have you seen the video?
Yeah, I heard about that. I have not watched that. I'm hoping he can throw him to the receivers, and we'll find that out today.
Yeah,
he's got to check that out, don't you think?
Sure, you got to
check
out
the video. It's worth a look.
Now, we heard some rumblings. Reporters were asking Tanny about the video and today, and I guess he wasn't all that thrilled to hear the questions about it. And I think I get to some degree that maybe for his part, right?
Move on
from that. I don't pigeonhole me. I'm a real quarterback. I'm not just a trick shot guy. But guess what? You are a trick shot guy. That's what you're known for now. And other than that, the discussion is about your time on a practice squad. That doesn't leave much room for discussion. So the most interesting thing you have going for you as a quarterback is that right now. And Matt Fontana, our producer, just informs us that he's got some sound from Tanny today with the media. Let's hear some of that. Let it roll.
I guess it's however you want to interpret it. I mean, I've heard so much about it. It's just kind of old to me, but I like to think that I'm here because of the skills on the field, not thrown in garbage cans.
And there
Which
it is.
Fair. I get it. But you know what? It's a good story. The guy's very accurate, obviously. So hopefully, we'll get a chance to see him at some point. And if we do, he's going to be, I think, he'll have a chance to show what he can do on the field as an NFL quarterback. Why not? I'm interested. I'm intrigued. After seeing that video, I'm intrigued to see what he can do with guys on the football field. We saw him a little bit in preseason with the Dallas Cowboys. He made some very good throws. He does seem to be accurate, and hopefully, maybe he is somebody that Ray Farmer had his eye on, brought him in here, and now he's going to get an opportunity to play his way into this organization for the future as a cheap quarterback, which is not a bad thing.
I'm fascinated by him, and I also think that, again, it's a skill level, that accuracy thing that shows up when you think about a guy who can do those amazing things with a football. But it's also this understanding of what this Browns offensive scheme is all about. And again, that has long-term implications. I mean, this is what the offense is. It's not going to change dramatically next year, and I hope for the year after that. I hope it's the Rob Chudzinski, North Turner show here for a while.
Yes.
I do think that they have established a foundation of something that, once you get an actual quarterback who can stay healthy and play and be good, I think you're going to see the results of that on a consistent basis. That's the other part of trying to judge what this scheme is all about, what their coaching is about, what the criticisms I'll tell you something that's driving me nuts, is the criticisms about a lack of imagination or poor play calling on their part. There is only so much you are able to do as a coach with a very limited amount of ability and talent that you have to work with. And it's extremely limited. You pull back at some points. Although this team has been remarkably aggressive with all the quarterbacks who have been in there at various times, calling it on fourth down, you know, making other decisions, fake field goals and different things that speak to aggressiveness, and then trying to throw downfield at various times. But there's a limit to what these quarterbacks are able to do, and that included Jason Campbell. It certainly includes Brandon Whedon. And I know North Turner, as a play caller, has been up there. He won't say this publicly, but I know he feels like he's been handcuffed, and because he can't depend on and ask those guys to do much more, and he's got to simplify a lot of what this scheme is. There are things in his, if you've studied North Turner, and if you've studied the teams that he's coached, San Diego Chargers, go back to Dallas, go look at the Washington, look at the various stops where he's been, San Francisco, and look at what they've done in terms of play calling, and then look at what you've seen in the last several weeks here with the Browns. It's a watered down version, and that is not an accident.
Right. Well, listen, a lot of those teams you referenced also had the ability to run the football, had backs who were dual threat guys and who were very, very good. He does not have that. It is a one-dimensional offense, unfortunately, and that dimension right now, or at least for the last, you know, 6 weeks, has been relegated to one person, Josh Gordon. Imagine what this offense would look like without Josh Gordon right now. If you're going to be thankful for anything this Thanksgiving as it relates to this Cleveland Browns team, be thankful that they did not trade Josh Gordon, because my goodness, it would be dreadful.
That's close to the top of my thankful list that I'm preparing for ClevelandBrowns.com. Can't put it ahead of, like, you know, family and friends, because that would be a little ridiculous, but it's right up there.
But it's up there as far as the on-field product. And, you know, if Alex Tanny, who we talked about, does start a game this season, he will be the fourth quarterback to do so for the Cleveland Browns. And Rob Jedzinski was asked about how tough the quarterback changes have been on this football team.
It's not easy, and it's not ideal, but it is what it is right now. And I think that as you look at it, it's impressive. It says a lot about the character of our guys and those guys in the locker room, that they have been able to adjust, rally, re-rally, and do it again behind guys. And I don't expect anything different in this case as well.
Rally and re-rally. When you got to re-rally, you got some challenges. I like that term, but that's exactly what he's talking about, because the whole year has been a rally.
Yeah, and
it's
been a tough year because it's been a year of streaks. You lose two, you win three. You lose three, you win one, and now you've lost two again. And it's, you know, that's how you get to 4-7. There's really been that one good stretch, and they rallied them after the trade of Trent Richardson in the 0-2 start to the three straight wins. And then you lose Brian Hoyer, and you go 0-2, and then you start Jason Campbell, loses his first one. You try to re-rally again. They win that game against the Baltimore Ravens. You feel good, and now they have to re-rally for the third time this year to try to finish out this season with some signs of positivity. And it starts, hopefully, with a victory this Sunday over the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And that said, the guy this team, we've said this before, say it again, have to rally around is Brandon Whedon. And Rob Jedzinski was asked about whether Whedon has the support of his teammates.
That changes and can change quickly, and it's a matter of production, performance. The most important thing is I know that he has the backing of his teammates, and, you know, the type of guys we have in the locker room, their support for him. They want to win, and everybody realizes that Brandon needs to play well, as everybody does, but Brandon needs to play well and do his part for us to win.
Yeah, and I hope that's the case. I mean, I'll take his word for it that he gauges it, but do you really know it'll show up when they're playing?
The fact that they switched to Jason Campbell going into Kansas City says to me that they knew at that moment he did not have the support of his teammates.
Right.
He's done nothing to regain the support of his teammates. He'll have the opportunity to do so against the Jacksonville Jaguars. But it is a very, very difficult situation. And listen, again, the quarterback is the key to the National Football League right now. It's becoming more and more apparent on a weekly basis, and the Browns don't have that player. Brandon Whedon is not that player. Even though he was a first-round pick, Right now you go back and you look at Brandon Weed and you look at Trent Richardson as the first-round picks for this team last season. Neither one of those guys would get picked in the first round if teams had to do it all over again. I'm sure the Indianapolis Colts right now are kicking themselves. The performance has not been there, and it's just kind of the way that it is. And unfortunately for the Browns, this is the situation they are back in again, because quarterbacks have been sacked for the Browns 39 times, second most in the NFL. Every quarterback who started for the Cleveland Browns this year has had to leave a game at some point due to injury. No quarterback has started four straight games for this team all year long. Played four straight games, finished four games all season long. That in and of itself is crazy to me. Nobody's played four straight games right from start to finish a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns this season.
That is a guaranteed formula for losing. It just you'll never succeed doing that, and it is the definition of what the 2013 Browns have been all about. That is the story of this year. You could talk about a lot of other things. It would be nice to say that the story of the year is the breakout of Josh Gordon and the kind of numbers he's put up and done all these wonderful things. It isn't. That is secondary. That is lost in the wash of what has been an atrocious quarterbacking situation, both in terms of injury and performance. Now, as we kind of get into the psyche of Brandon Weeden, or at least have discussed this on the show, and we're going to address this in a second with hear what Rob Jasinski had to say about this, but this tweet, which was interesting, from James Johnson, tweeting that Weeden has no, quote, real passion, does not care about the Cleveland Browns, so it doesn't bother him. You know, I don't know if I'd go as far as to say he doesn't care about the Browns, but the legitimacy of the point that James makes there is that when you know, you're clued into the fact that everybody sees it, the situation for what it is, that you, as in Brandon Weeden, are playing this thing out, that your future is pretty well done here, but you've got to be playing now because there is no other choice. You are the only guy left to play healthy, and others can clamor and say, well, they should have been signing someone else and just get rid of the guy, but I don't think that was – I never thought that would happen. But for the sake of his NFL future, I think he's got something to play for in that regard. So if it's – a player has to see his job as being more than one place. He has to look at it as an opportunity to end up in one of 31 other places if it's not going to be on the team that he's on. And I think we both wholeheartedly agree, everyone would pretty well agree, that Brandon Weeden's future with the Browns would be over after this season. But the question was asked of Rob Chudzinski how he's handled all the turmoil that he's faced this season.
He's done a good job, or he's really kept his head into it. He's been a professional through it all. Those are the things that are difficult as you go through a career, and I think he's handled them very well. And I think it's put him in a position where he stayed into it and was going to be ready for his opportunity if it came up, and it's come up.
And the opportunity is here again, whether people like it or not, for Brandon Weeden. When we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we'll get a Jaguars perspective on this Sunday's game. Talk about what it has been that it's clicked for the Jags to allow them to win two games in a row. That's all coming up with Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union right after this.